Bible says that for he could swear no higher, he swore upon himself. And I don't believe God's ever broken a covenant. He's never let me down. He's never broken a promise. And I don't believe he's planning on doing that, do you? I am excited about the confirmation of the message, because this message has everything to do with what they were singing about. I am excited to be here. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And while you turn, I'd ask you to pray for our family. We lost my wife's nanny yesterday morning. And I told Sister Stephanie, and this is the truth, the last death that I had in my family was my father. And the night after that happened, I preached here. And she said, well, he's never going to want to preach here again. Well, that's absolutely the complete opposite. Every time I feel, every time I walk into these through these doors, and every time I'm able to see my family here, it just fills me with so much love. And if I don't get to tell you this again, I love each and every one of you. I'm not going to ruin that opportunity, will you? I'm thankful to be here this evening. All those who would, once you find your spot in 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse 6, please stand with us for the reading of God's Word. It says here, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And amen. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us and the opportunity that you've been here, or that you've allowed us to be here. And we know you're here, Father. We thank you for the love that you've given. We thank you for all that you do for us. God, we pray that if there be one lost, Father God, that you would save them. If there be one, Lord, that's cold, Father, Lord, that you would bring them to the remembrance of what you have done for them. Lord, we pray and we thank you for all that you give, and that of your Son, sweet in heavenly name, and amen. You may be seated. As I was reading this scripture, and as they were singing, it's amazing at how God confirms things, isn't it? This evening, I'm just going to go ahead and give you the title of the message, and I'm going to read it verbatim so I don't mess it up. It says, give it to God and get out of the way. Give it to God and get out of the way. That's pretty direct, isn't it? I think we are in a day and age where we have a lot of issues, don't we? We have a lot of problems. There's a lot of sickness, a lot of worry, a lot of grievances, if there were. But how wonderful is it to know that we can go to the Father at any time, lay it at his feet, walk away, and not have to worry about it? I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. I think we're in a day and age where we just need to slow down, and we need to remember what God has done for us, what he has given to us. But the unfortunate thing is a lot of times we can't get out of our own way. I believe that the biggest stumbling block, the biggest roadblock that we will ever have in front of ourselves is that ourselves. I'm reminded of a story that I heard once about a young man who had recently graduated high school. And the thing is that all of his friends were getting new cars from their parents. Well, he thought that his parents were well off, so maybe mom and dad was going to buy me a brand new car. Well, the graduation ceremony came, and as the open house was closing, mom and dad were excited about the gift that they were getting ready to give their son. And as everybody began to leave, they wanted it to be a personal encounter between mom and dad. So the son was eagerly waiting, and as mom and dad began to approach their son, they handed him something, and it wasn't a brand new car, it was a Bible. And that young man got so upset that he took the Bible, he flung it, and then he never spoke to his mom and dad again until he had to make preparations for his father's funeral. Now, as he began to make preparations, he was going through his dad's old stuff, and he found that old King James Bible that mom and dad had got him all those years ago. And as he began to open it, two pieces of paper fell out. He began to pick it up, and the first thing that he opened up was a road map. The second thing that he opened up was a cashier's check with a letter inside of it. The letter read this: "I don't know what color of car you wanted, but here is a cashier's check so that you can go out and buy a brand new car. Here is a map so that you'll never get lost on your way down the road, and here is a Bible so that you'll never get lost on your way down the road." If that young man would have just stepped away and left his pride behind, the greatest gift would have happened. First of all, he would have gotten a brand new car. But the greatest gift would have happened that when he opened that Word of God, he would have gotten something. I'm going to tell you this, that every time you open your Bible, there's not going to be a cashier's check, because if you do, it should have my name on it. But what I am telling you this is that every time you open that blessed book, you should receive something from it, amen? You may say, well, it's not always what I want, but guess what? It's always what you need. And I thank God for that. I thank God for these blessed scriptures as we've been reading so far. I want to go ahead and get into the message, and I'm going to touch on my first point real quick. Look with me just for a second at verse 6. And there's a word that sticks out that a lot of people will use, and that word is humble. We see it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Now, I want you to see that it says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God." It's amazing how many people think they're humble and they want to go out and tell everybody that they're humble. It's amazing, isn't it? Who is the most humble person you know? Me. Well, that doesn't mean that you're humble, does it? I want to understand that that word humble simply means this: low. That word humble, it means low. We see here that as we look at what this word means, as we look at that word humble, I want you to turn with me, or you don't have to, but I want to read real quick James 4, verses 1 through 10. It says here, "From whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, that ye may not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Now you say, "Preacher, why did you read that?" Well, here's the thing. I have nothing to give. I have nothing to give. The only thing I can tell you this is I was a sinner, saved by, or I still am a sinner, but I'm saved by grace, amen? I mess up. I'm nothing important. I'm nothing proud. I have nothing in this world that I call my own. Why? Because it all came from God. It all came from him. But I want you to look real quick in that verse 7. It says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." My first point is submit to God. Hey, it's not eloquent. Hey, it's not something deep. But I will tell you this right now. You must submit to God. If you're here and you're saved, at one point you submitted to God. You submitted to the fact that you were lost. You were submitted to the fact that you were on your way to hell. You were submitted to the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way. Not was the only way, but is still the only way. I'm thankful that he's still saving me, aren't you? He's going to save me all the way home. But we must submit to the fact that, hey, we're nothing but his. And I'm okay with that, aren't you? The greatest gift I was ever given is Jesus. And he's still the greatest gift that I've ever been given. I was looking at little Josiah back there, and I'm going to tell you this right now. That's a good-looking little boy. Mama said amen. But nobody else did. Especially against Stephanie. What's going on with that? But I began to think, that precious little gift right there. Do you know there's something so much more precious than him? And I guarantee you this right now, Mama would say the exact same thing, and that's Jesus. Why? Because she submitted to the fact that that little boy right there, that little boy right there, and that little girl right there was a gift from God. And children are a heritage to the Lord. And I believe that God gifted those babies to that mom and dad, don't you? Why? For his glory. Because he knows that they've submitted to the fact that God is God. We forget that, don't we? We forget that God is God.
There's nothing more to add to that. God is God. But we see, submit yourselves, therefore, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Why? Because you submitted to God, not because of who you are. I'm just going to say that real quick. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And I'm going to go back real quick to 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. I don't know when you're going to be exalted, but he knows. I'm not going to tell you when it's going to get easier, but he knows. But I will tell you this right now. I thank God that even though we're going through a valley in our family, and listen to me this right now, I'm going to tell you something about my nanny. She was a lady. She was a lady. A respectable, God-fearing woman. And she is the reason that I'm here right now. Why, you say, well, what does that mean? She raised her children to be in church. My father-in-law raised his daughter to be in church. And my wife, his daughter, invited me to go to church. Hey, by the way, your fruits are worth working on, by the way. Hey, you don't know what is going to be headed down the way. You don't know who's watching you. So, guarding your testimony, producing fruit, working for love of the Lord, it bears fruit, amen. And I'm living proof of that. But I want you to understand here that so many people are waiting on their time. They want to submit to God on their own time. Well, I thank God that he didn't save me on my time because, hey, I probably would have never showed up. It's just all about me, but he's the one in control. He's the one who put it on my wife's heart to invite me to church. He's the one who convicted me at that second pew. He's the one who reminds me every time I mess up that he's still there. And I mess up a lot. I think I say that every time I'm here. I mess up a lot. And she's not here to shake her head, but you know that Christy be saying he does. And she still loves me. Why? Well, we'll talk about that later. But I want you to understand that we try to push and we try to go. And yeah, I'm only on my first point, but it's okay because I'm feeling good. We see here that we try to get God to do things on our time. We want God to do what we want. But we must realize that when we submit to him, we're submitting to what he has for us. To our need. He knows exactly what I need. He's still working on me, isn't he? To make me what I ought to be. I'm not going to sing, don't worry. But we see here that Paul himself sought the Lord three times, and the Lord reminded him in 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rise me up. I want to tell you something right now. Do you know why people don't understand us Christians? Because we live in such a paradoxical effect. That means the complete opposite of things. That's a big word I use, and I like to use it a lot because it sounds cool, but I don't really know what it means. A paradoxical effect. Brother David, I've looked it up. Eric's over there, so I can't mess it up. But we understand that, hey, we are completely opposite from the world. The world walks by sight, right? We walk by faith.
world, it's the first person who gets there, right? Well, my Bible says what? The last shall be first. Yeah. I thank God that he didn't want the first place king. He wanted that run to deliver. Hey, if any of y'all hunt and you got hunting dogs, you know that little rump right there, it ain't good for much things. I mean, it may turn out to be okay, but you just don't want to take that chance. That's the dog that you take inside and you keep as a pet. But he looked at us and he saw something, didn't he? You know what he saw?
He saw what his son did for us. He said, my son died for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we see that we must submit to God. In verse 6, we see this. But I want you to look at verse 7 also. Don't worry, only 3 points. Maybe. But we see here in verse number 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. And you're going to, and don't think be weird, but this is my life verse. It is. I'm going to be personal with you because I've known you just as long as it's been quite a few years, hasn't it? I'm trying to think the first time that I got to preach here, but I have severe anxiety. I'm going to stop right there. I have crippling anxiety. There's been therapies, there's been medications, and it's a chemical imbalance in my brain that I inherited from my parents. It's okay. We get nervous, don't we? We start to get on edge. We start to bite our fingernails or we start to pick at things. And you know how it is. You start to have those panic attacks. But I want you to understand that's not just what he meant when he said, cast all your cares. When I look at this right here, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Hey, he didn't just say cast all your problems, did he? Brother David, I do care for you, and I pray for you. That's me casting my care upon him. Right. When I'm at work and I have to tell someone that their child's injured, or I get called out to a fire, or I get on a medic run, and here's the thing is my anxiety starts to kick up, and I just start to pray that, Lord, you're the one that's in control. Guess what? That's casting our cares upon him. And why do we do that? Well, I like that second part, for he careth for you.
But it's a care unlike any other. Psalms 55:22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But I want you to also look at Psalm 37. Well, I'm going to turn to Psalm 37 real quick. It said, fret not thyself because of the doer. Or of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Hey, that's when that temptation starts to come in. That's when those trials start to come in. Hey, and you start to look at the world and you think, you know, I'm serving God, but yet they somehow got it better than me. When you start to think, you know, well, maybe I just need to go back to the world to remember that, hey, I'm saved. That's not what it's talking about, amen. When you start to get that mindset, when you start to feel like you're being pulled one way, that's when you need to go to him and cast those troubles at his feet. But we see here, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. But we also see, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the new day. Now listen to this. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his ways, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass.
I like the fact that he tells us what to do. Hey, we growing up, I didn't like being told what to do. And recently, I realized that I like being told what to do. I've been married for almost 11 years. I really hope she's not listening, because I think she is. Hi, honey. But I realized something that on... I was trying to do my PIN number, because that's our anniversary. I'm not going to say our anniversary now. But I began to think about that. Oh, the humor's good. But I began to think about this, that, you know, sometimes she gets tired of telling me what to do. And sometimes I get tired of her telling me what to do. But I'm glad sometimes that she tells me what to do. I am the most... Look. I didn't pick this up. Okay? I probably would have grabbed boots. No, she picked out these shoes. I probably would have grabbed something that didn't match with something, because I thought it looked okay. But she told me, hey, this is what you're wearing. And I said, yes, ma'am. I'm glad that God tells us what to do. And you know what? This is the truth. He says it in the most loving way. We do serve a God of wrath. We serve a God of vengeance. We serve a mighty God. But we serve a God of love, amen? We serve a God of peace. I realized me telling Landon what to do, and he always asked why. Why? Why? I'm getting payback for all the times that I asked why, why, why. And pretty soon he does something. It kind of goes with submission. But he surrenders. He surrenders to me. He just says, okay, it's yours. Okay, Daddy, I'll do what you want me to do. We see here in verse 7, real quick, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I want to tell you this right now, and I'm going to tell you just direct surrender everything to God. Why? Because it's his anyway. Our burdens, our trials, our heartaches, our pain, our sickness, everything, surrender it to him. It may not always have the outcome that we want, but he knows exactly what he's doing. I think sometimes there's nothing wrong with asking God a question, but it's when you begin to question him that's the problem. Yeah. Moses did the same thing. In the wilderness, as he began to tell him what to do, he began to question God. Well, Lord, God, I'm a man of a stammering tongue. God, are you sure you want me to do this? When you ask God if he's sure of something, there's a problem. Because we know this, nothing is ever, God has never had a new thought. No, God's never been inspired by someone. I like what Adrian Rogers said. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? That's amazing. And that just occurred to me, didn't it? You got to think about that. That's the God we serve. And you know, the thing is that surrendering to him does not make us weak. That's when we are strong. So we see that. That's when we're strong. I want you to look at that word cast real quick. That word cast. You know what it means? Hey, I like to fish. Amen. Okay? Anybody use a bait caster? Amen. I don't like them closed things. I like to make sure that it doesn't untangle my line. When you throw it, you hear that whistling sound, and you just hear that perfect plop. And that bobber begins to set up. Sorry about that. I lost my train of thought. But what I'm saying is this, is that when you cast something, you gotta throw it. You gotta throw it. Now, here's the thing about this. If I throw something at you, I'm not immediately gonna be able to go grab it. That's our problem today, is when we cast something at the Lord's feet, we automatically wanna go grab it.
That's right.
We gotta realize that, hey, he's got this. That should be the title of a message. He's got this. That's not the title of this message. The title of this message is, give it to God and get out of the way. So when you throw something, or you cast something at the Lord's feet, the maker of heaven, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, you don't think he's got this? Well, here's the thing. I understand we have what's called this old head. Brother Mitchell said we get a new heart but an old head. I understand that. Hey, trust me. Still mess up a lot. But I want you to understand that we must
When we surrender to Him, we must submit to Him. And when you submit somebody, or when you surrender something, you can't just go get it back. Okay? So we see this in submitting to God. We see surrendering everything to God. Matthew 6:25 says this real quick, and I'm going to move on in just a second. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?
I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. Now you may say, well, I went to bed hungry. Well, here's the thing. He has provided us with a family. When we cast our cares at His feet, it doesn't mean you got to go tell everybody. But the wonderful thing about this is that God reminds us that we are many members made up of one body. Not one person here should ever go to bed hungry. Not one person should ever go to bed feeling alone. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Yes, God is always present. He's a present help in the time of trouble. But if you need someone to talk to, if you need someone to vent to, and you think that, you know what, I just need that human interaction, hey, I guarantee you there's somebody here who would gladly just give an ear. You know why? Because we've all submitted to the fact that it's not about us. We've all surrendered it to Him, and we're a family. I think we need to remember that. We are getting too wrapped up in everybody else's problems that we start forgetting that, hey, we were once the problem. Somebody told me something, so I got to go tell somebody else. They came to you for a reason. Hey, somebody's hurting.
I heard a story one time about a man who, or excuse me, an elderly lady. She went up to a man who had. He was a prominent man. I mean, he wasn't rich or anything, but he had his affairs in order. And she looked at him and she said, "I'm hungry." And you know what he said? "Well, I'll pray for you." Hey, prayer does work, amen. But if God gives you the provision, there's a reason.
Amen.
We always look for somebody to bless us. So we see the submission, we see surrendering, but I want you to look also at real quick at verse number 8, and I'm going to go ahead and give you this point. We understand the submission, we understand the surrendering, but we also must stand, and we must stand sure that God is in control. We sing that song, "I Am Resolved." No, you know that song, right? "I'm Resolved." It's one of the songs that we sing during the choir. And what that means is to be resolved is that's a resolution. That's saying that I'm declaring unto you this. And not only am I declaring unto you this, I'm telling you that this is the truth. I'm standing here telling you that I am 100% sure. 100% sure that He is able, that He is faithful, that He is God. But we see in verse 8, real quick, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant." Now, we can automatically say, well, be sober. That means not to get drunk, right? And yeah, that's what it means. But what it means here is, hey, it's time to get serious. Think of that word, being sober, being vigilant. It means it's time to get serious. I told Chrissy just recently, I need to be more serious about my walk with the Lord. Y'all know this, I'm a goofball. I love making people laugh. But hey, making people laugh is not going to get people in heaven.
Right.
Sometimes you ever get nervous trying to give someone a trap, and you don't want to offend them. Well, hey, we offend God by not giving Him that trap. We've ruined that opportunity. We miss the opportunity. If we're willingly missing opportunities to tell someone about Jesus,
Are you really sure of who he is? Because here's the thing. Someone can say, I don't want that. Well, hey, there's always someone else. But if you miss that opportunity, perhaps that person really needed to hear. And last time I checked, the lost really need to hear.
I've been told, I've heard people give someone a tract. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, maybe you should read this still. The last time I checked, this book isn't just for the lost. This is my Bible. So we see that we must stand sure that God is in control. We must be sober, be vigilant, because I want you to look at this real quick. Our adversary, hey, that's personal. Our adversary. Yours, mine, ours, our adversary. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to tell you something real quick. Hey, the devil is the father of lies. But the devil is serious too. He's not some guy on the television who... I mean, it's amazing what the world is trying to make the devil be like. They got that show, Lucifer, on TV, and they're trying to make him seem like, hey, he was just misunderstood. Hey, he's actually a good... I don't even want to finish that sentence because I don't want to give any thought of somebody thinking I'm honoring him. I'm going to tell you this right now. Satan does not like you. Satan hates you. He wants you with him. He wants you to suffer. He wants you in pain. He's not some guy who has a bar or whatever that show's about. Somebody was trying to tell me, and I had to tell him to please just stop. They said, oh, it's a comic book. They're trying to justify these things now. They're justifying the world. And that's like I said, we got to get serious, don't we? So forgive me for not being serious for the past however long I've been saved. It's time to get serious. Let's stop wasting these precious moments. But I also want you to know, not only is he the father of lies, not only is he ferocious and he's fearful, but I want to tell you this, he's looking to feed. I'm going to go back real quick to that little baby because, hey, that's a good-looking boy, isn't it? Where's mom at? She's gone. Sister Stephanie, say amen. There you go. But Satan would love that baby. It's unfortunate that how often we forget about the little ones. Amen. It's unfortunate how often we forget about the ones who are hurting. It's unfortunate how we forget about the family and the friends. As long as we come to church, we're okay to pay out the ones that are outside of the church. That's Satan would love for you. Here's the thing. Satan would love for you to sit on these nice padded pews and listen to the preacher as long as you leave everybody else alone. Hey, I get it. He's not going to get you. He gets it, okay? But you know what? I've got somebody else. I don't want him to get anybody else. I believe our God is able, don't you? He's able to send us out for somebody else. Why? Because if we don't go after him, Satan is. It's disgusting at what things are allowed to happen today. That me being born, listen, in 1988, it may not seem like a long time, but I remember when I'm getting old. I remember when certain things weren't allowed on TV. I remember when certain things only popped up late at night. And now I've got to make sure that my little boy doesn't turn on the wrong children's TV show. It's time to get serious. It's time to take a stand. It's time to take a stand and be sure that God is in control. Not as only is he looking to feed, but I'm going to give you three things real quick and then I'm done. Verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hey, first of all, verse 9, there is going to be some grief, okay? There is going to be some hard times, and you may be in that hard time right now. And I want to tell you this, those who are in the hard time right now, it's going to get better. But it may get a little bit harder. It may get a lot harder, but it's going to get better. Stick with it. Keep pushing. Hey, the Son of God willingly went to the cross for you, and he didn't go half-heartedly. When he gave it all, he gave it all. The Bible says, hey, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know what that means? That means it's exactly what you need and so much more.
Yeah.
His blessings haven't ran out. We just need to seek him. We need to ask for him, seek after him, read about him, go to him for him. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. But I also want you to see, not only is there going to be great grief, but in that time of grief, verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, I don't know how long a while is, but after a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. There's a reason why they say it's tried by fire. I'm going to tell you, y'all know, most of you know that I was in the Army. You can't tell it now, but I was in the Army. And I remember going, and I remember thinking that I wasn't going to make it. I mean, we were up really early. Early for me was like 8. Early for them was 3:45. And then you still got up a half hour before then. It was just bad. Push-ups, sit-ups, running, yelling, screaming. I mean, you just felt like you were, what, broken completely down. But it's amazing what the body can endure and how it's strengthened and how it's calloused. But here's the thing, friend. Don't let that callous be on your heart.
Yeah.
That's what ruins a Christian. That's what ruins a family. That's what ruins a church. A calloused heart. I know most of you. I know. Hey, listen. If you ever, my mom's hands. She would. I mean, her hands are calloused. Just from laboring. Now I said my mom, not my dad. My mom. I mean, she worked with her hands. And trust me, I did not look forward to that whipping if I got in trouble. You know what I'm saying, right? I mean, they were rough. But it's amazing at how much they were strengthened. When I think about my hands, sometimes I look at them, and I look, and you'll have like a cut, and you will not realize it. But you've worked so much with your hands. And you looked at, brother, I understand you know that. You work so much with your hands that you look at the calluses and you think, oh, I'm bleeding. But that's because they've been strengthened and conditioned. That's what we must be. We've been broken down. We've been beaten. Hey, here's the thing. We were so low that we realized that we were headed for hell. It's amazing at these kids that you see, and you'll see these TV people that are like, well, come get saved, and kids are just skipping and popping bubble gum, and they're so excited, but they don't know what it's like to have a broken heart or a contrite spirit.
Right.
Hey, listen, I was that kid at 10 years old thinking I got saved because someone said, hey, you should get saved. Well, okay, well, why not? Who wants to go to heaven? But then you realize that something is missing. Now, Landon was 8 years old, and he walked up to the pastor and he said, I need to be saved. He didn't cry or bawl, but there's something on the inside that made him realize that there's something not right. But then you're strengthened. You're strengthened in his word. You're strengthened in his grace. All because, hey, that grief, yeah, you're going to have grief. But how wonderful is it to know that through that grief, you have his grace. And finally, I'm about done. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have grief. We have his grace. And praise God, we have his glory. We sing that. So you ever look at a song and you think to yourself, "Man, that's a good song." You know, a lot of times you'll turn on something like we got that Sirius XM radio, and I listen to the Enlighten, and you know there's some Southern gospel songs you're just like. So then I'll turn it to the bluegrass gospel, amen. But you start to listen not just to the melody, because you know I like to play. I love to play my guitar or the band. I love banjo. Or my brother-in-law plays the banjo, and he's good at it. And me, I grin, amen. But we see that the melody is good. But when you begin to listen to the words, and you just gotta kind of break away from him. Hey, the piano playing was good tonight. Amen. Very proud of how good she is getting. But I'm going to be honest with you. I loved the words to that song that they were singing. I mean, it got me excited to know that, hey, he's faithful. And he's able. And you know what's amazing? Is that he loves something like me. But listen. You ever heard that saying, you're your own worst enemy? That means you got two enemies. You got the devil and you got yourself. But praise God, we got someone who is far greater. I'm done.